Wow. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. That's Avenged Sevenfold. Avenged Sevenfold, okay. Anyway, welcome back to our program here, and good to be with you. We're online at philhenryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you to Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, and, of course, to Granger Bartholomew for being our guest last hour, talking about the Barack Obama speech, which I didn't hear, but I did hear the Martin Luther King speech.
Well, the Martin Luther King speech is the speech, but Barack Obama standing there before the Lincoln Memorial. See, this generation doesn't have Martin Luther King, so they have Barack Obama.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Barack Obama is, he's the president, and he is African-American, but Martin Luther King, he ain't, you know.
What do you mean, Martin Luther King, he ain't? That's exactly what Bartholomew, whatever the hell his name is.
Granger Bartholomew. You're telling me that I said he ain't because I'm white and I'm feeling so nervous and distracted that my grammar's gone to hell?
Well, that was his point.
That was pretty much the point that he was making.
Yeah, well, he was making a point that doesn't exist. Not only is he wrong, it doesn't even rise to the level of being wrong. He's mental. From the spot where Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. famously relayed his Robert?
You gonna keep doing this? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep doing it. Why wouldn't I keep doing it?
We just did a whole hour on it.
Yeah, but I didn't hear anybody making any sense. And listen to that jackass talking about how, you know, he wrote a column about and he couldn't spell Sonny. I mean, what the hell are we talking about here? I'm going to read this story, if you don't mind. From the spot...
What do you mean he couldn't spell Sonny?
S-U-N-N-I-E.
Oh.
Yeah.
From the spot where the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. famously relayed his vision of a colorblind nation, President Barack Obama on Wednesday called on Americans to work toward a greater racial equality and economic opportunity. Now, that's in my opinion, that's a very interesting statement to make. Greater economic opportunity. Because when I was looking at some of the signs that were at the Martin Luther King... What is that?
David.
Yeah, David.
Phil, if you're going to read that, you're mumbling through it, and you need to sound enthusiastic. Get some change for the 20.
What is going on here? I got people at a casino all of a sudden tonight.
Hold on, Phil. You know, you really love to rip into people. Go get change for the 20, baby. What's wrong?
Where are you?
I'm at Chumash Indian Casino. Is there a problem? Is that against the law? I thought I'd play some video poker. We're on our way home from a very important conference.
Really? Where?
What do you mean, where?
Where? Where was the conference?
It was in San Francisco.
Really? And what was the name of it?
I don't have to answer your questions, Phil.
No, I think you were just out cruising around with your girlfriend. I don't think you were at a conference.
Yes, I was.
What was the name of it?
You might as well tell him, David. He'll just keep on leaning on you.
Oh, is he going to lean on me? I was at the National Program Director. You know, hold on for a minute, Phil. My pants are too tight.
Uh-huh.
They are.
What was the conference you were at?
I was at the National Program Director Association Conference.
And that was in what city?
It was, I told you, in San Bernardino. San Francisco is what I meant to say. I said San Bernardino because I was going alphabetically.
You weren't at any conference. You were up at that casino all day.
No, I was not. Let me tell you the reason why I called. This is you reading the story on Barack Obama. It's a very big day to go like this.
Yeah, you kind of are mumbling, Mr. Henry. That's why I call up Mr. Hall.
Yeah, David, what's his name? I want to call him David Jr. because he does such a great job.
Well, I'll call him Dave. Thanks a lot, David Jr.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Dave Jr. He called me and told me... I'm sorry, Phil, I shouldn't say that.
No, okay, I'm going to give you another 5 seconds and then I'm hanging up.
Wait a minute, she hasn't brought the change back for the 20.
So that's you. That's the end of that, right?
Yeah, sure, that's the end of that. What's with the phone call? I understand.
Well, you're all gone yet. There's Martin Luther King. You gotta speak it like it's good. Well, yeah, a very important speech was given to the president. You all like mumbling it.
I wasn't mumbling anything, man. I was reading the story. I was trying to get to the essence of the story because you guys told me that we'd already done it.
Well, you just went since because. Hold on. I'm sorry, Phil, and I will always apologize, but I've got to release the gas.
Yeah, it's important to release it. I'm sorry.
What are you people eating around here?
No, we got a 24-pack of Diet Pepsi.
A 24-pack of Diet Pepsi, so?
So we drank a few. Big wow.
That 24-pack of Diet Pepsi belongs to... All right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us here on the program. Maybe I'm on edge because I have had a very difficult night. You know, last night I had a tough night trying to get to sleep.
Why don't you tell everyone about the sleep paralysis?
Yes, I have this thing called sleep paralysis.
Now, what is it?
Sleep paralysis, if you'll let me say. Sleep paralysis...
Is it? It's neurological, right?
But you let the guy talk instead of to butt it in.
I did. I butted in.
Yes.
I think I'll let Marta interview you.
Let me interview you, Phil. We're here with Phil Hendry.
Wait a minute. What are you going
to
do?
I'm going to interview you because you're all in a heap. You really don't look like you're going to last another hour and whatever it is. Hour, 45 minutes? How much time do we have left on this dog, bud?
About an hour and 45. Yeah, something like that.
On this dog.
On the show. I'm Margaret Gray. I'm interviewing Phil Hendry, who suffers from sleep paralysis. He doesn't sleep very well. He has insomnia. He's got a bad back. He gets frequent headaches. And he thinks that he's fit to go on the radio every night? I don't think so. I'm Margaret Gray. Where's the toilet paper?
Are you done? I thought you were going to interview me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Phil, what happened to you last night?
I couldn't sleep.
No. What happened to you? We were playing bridge, and you got up.
We were playing a hand of bridge last night.
What's that?
It's a card game. I got up and I went to bed.
Oh, okay. That's what I wondered, what happened to you last night. I'm Margaret Gray.
So that's it?
No, there's more questions, but... So you went to bed, why?
Because it was nighttime.
Okay, and what were you going to do?
Sleep.
Ah, sleep. Now, why would you do that?
Because at nighttime people sleep.
I know that. I sleep at night.
Right, but you went to bed later than me because I was playing cards with you and Frank and I split and you guys were still awake.
I don't know what you're saying. What is he saying?
Why don't you get out of here with these questions, okay? What are you trying to find out? I have insomnia, folks, and last night I couldn't sleep. And then, on top of everything else, I get this thing called sleep paralysis. Now, you can look it up. It's a weird, bizarre ailment. It is one that is suffered by a percentage of the population. I don't know what the frequency is. But I think it's a higher percentage, say, than a lot of things. But nonetheless, it's a really disturbing problem to have. And I have been able to keep this under control through diet.
So you get when you control how you eat?
I control how I eat. It lessens the frequency.
Oh, I thought it was going to increase it somehow.
Why would I want to do that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I... Jeez.
I don't know, Phil. I don't have sleep paralysis. I don't know what you people do.
You people. Here we are again. So me and my sleep paralysis mates, we're all you people. You know,
Well, everyone's a victim, so...
So in any event, I have this sleep... Well, look at this. Now I got a break. I'm going to haul off and belt somebody. I can't hit a woman. And, Bud, I've already smacked you around enough. I don't know who. Maybe I'll just beat myself.
What? You cut yourself? I'd go get a razor blade.
Go get some razor blades and I'll cut myself. That's great. I'm kidding. In any event, we'll be back here with more on this fantastically exciting thing that we're saying here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And, of course, a backstage pass gets you into our live-streaming videocast every night of the show. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more on the miserable night I spent. Hello, world famous Phil Hendry Show, back here from our studios at the El Pacifico. Debbie Daly is going to join us, and Debbie is a nationally syndicated, actually carried on a network on public radio. Debbie does a morning show, and I really should let people know because oftentimes we have people complaining, and I don't blame them, you know. Debbie is hearing impaired, and so is sometimes difficult to understand.
And she's on the radio, why?
She's on the radio, why? Because she has a right to be on the radio.
She has a right to be... Ladies and gentlemen...
Margaret, I wish you wouldn't address the audience. Address the audience through me, okay?
Yeah, Mr. Henry's the conduit. You go through him.
Where did you learn a word like conduit? Get him.
David Hall.
David taught him.
Well, why does Debbie Daly, who sounds like she's got a mouthful of nothing...
Let's just be charitable, okay? She wants to come on and talk about Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, and I say, and I said to her that we'd be very happy to have her on the show. Just a reminder again, though, that our backstage pass available at philhenryshow.com gets you 5,000 hours of full show audio. It also gets you to our video cast archive. It gets you to our classic archive, our classic podcast, which is from our archive, and that is available daily, plus our daily show audio podcast and our news feed and our webisodes, including the Milwaukee Lions and all kinds of things there at philhenryshow.com. It's a great, great value, and we'd like you to be a part of our family. That's nice. All right. What?
Get Debbie Daly.
I know we got Debbie. Debbie Daly is on the line from New York City tonight, and very, very good to have you with us. Debbie, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Debbie, the Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, what went wrong, says the headline. I know that you do a public radio show, but you like to round out, and most people think that public radio is very scholastic. There's a lot of very serious topics, or if not serious, they are topics that involve things far more, I guess, relevant than whether or not a celebrity's marriage is holding together. Why do you do this kind of material? Hold on, Debbie, hold on. What?
I can't understand a thing. Debbie, hi, it's Margaret. What?
She said, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Debbie, I'm not going to start with you. I'm simply saying that most people... Now, how did I understand what she just said?
Because you're listening and you're not running your mouth.
Oh, my big fat yap. You know, at least I've got a big fat yap to yap, and I don't sound like once upon a time I put two fingers into a wall socket and stepped in a pan of water. I'm Margaret Gray. No, you can't use a dirty word, because even if people can't understand... Why am I talking?
Yeah, Margaret, why don't you split? Just get out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, you should have seen Phil when he did that. He went, why don't you split?
Yeah, Dad, you gotta throw your shoulder out.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, Debbie, sorry about the distraction. Tell me again why you would cover Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. What? You had a Diet Pepsi.
Yeah.
So if they're nude, so you would cover them if they were nude, because who wants to see Michael Douglas nude? Is that what you said? Thank you for holding in the belch.
People are calling in. They think there's a joke.
Put them on the line so we can talk to them. That's fine. We'll go in here to, well, this is Darcy calling. She's calling in from Alhambra. And just a reminder, folks, we are at 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445 the Bradley Military Academy. RC, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mr. Henry. I wanted to talk to the lady that is on the radio. I don't think it's right, and I don't think it's correct. What? Well, are you pretending, or are you for real hard of hearing? Well, I mean, everything you're saying is all...
Yeah, we know that.
Tell you something you don't know? You're... Well, I better not say it. I was going to say, you're ugly. Well, you can...
All right. I don't think that taking phone calls, obviously, is the way to go. Maybe we ought to just continue. I think that you are bringing this on yourself, Debbie, and not necessarily on purpose, but people are going to react. People are going to react. Aren't you aware of that? Aren't you prepared for that? Are you there? I can hear you now. Yeah. Go ahead. What?
okay? I heard what you just called me there.
Yeah, how come we know you just called Phil?
Don't say it.
But we can't hear nothing else.
Would you not take the Lord's name in vain, okay?
I heard that, Phil, and I... Debbie, you're supposed to be a liberal. Oh, well, that would mean you're against religion. Give the lady a cigar. I smoke cigars. What do you mean, looking at my teeth? You can figure that out.
You know what? This doesn't work. This doesn't work. Who are you calling Stutters? You know what? If I were you, I wouldn't be knocking anybody's...
You wouldn't be talking about how good someone talk.
Thanks a lot, Debbie. Bug off, okay? She's the only person in the world... What?
You realize that tonight you haven't had one person on the show that you've been happy with. You hung up on people, they're hanging up on you. You tell everybody to go hell. Now you got Debbie Daly figuring out that's one lady that she'd be able to, you'd be able to talk to her normal. And you just told her to bug off, man. And she called you a gloid, called you an a-hole.
She did. She called me all of those names. What did I do wrong? All I'm trying to do is I was trying to protect her from that R.C. Collins punk.
Phil, you can't protect people like that. Let them wander into the swamp themselves. They're going to have to get themselves out of these... You know, your problem is you're always trying to save people. Isn't that what you said?
I said that once when you and I were conversing. Yeah, that was something I found out in therapy.
In therapy? God!
What's wrong with that?
That's just weak. Everybody knows you go to therapy.
Oh, is that right? You know, more people ought to go into therapy. I went into therapy because I was having some problems.
Yeah, I bet you were.
But the one problem I don't have, man, is hauling this right hand back and boom, just hitting the target with it. Catherine Zeta-Jones.
This is what I'm saying. This is the second story you've had to take over because the guest butchered it alive.
What was the first one?
Well, the whole hour with Barack Obama.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
All right. Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, however right you are, Margaret, I have to press on here. Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, a seemingly solid celebrity marriage, could be heading to celebrity divorce, raising melancholy questions about the difficulty of staying together while in the grasp of fame, not to mention major illness and mental health struggles. Mental health struggles? Who's that?
Well, no doubt it's Michael Douglas as he daughters his way through life. I don't know,
Daughters his way through life. This guy just gave an Emmy-winning performance as
Liberace.
Liberace, that's right. He gave an Emmy-winning performance. He is far from doddering. This guy is at the top of his craft. Seems that way to me, anyway. So Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones are breaking up. The questions arise on the news that the two of them have separated. He's 68, she's 43. Now, that's 25 years. Is that the age difference?
You know, I'll bet you anything she's dumping him like a bad habit. What do you think?
I don't know. The couple have weathered major medical setbacks in recent years. He battled throat cancer. That's because he had been practicing oral sex, right?
No, he said that was wrong.
Oh, that's right.
Well, that whole thing, that was sad, trying to make everyone think that he's the stud. Oh, yeah, the reason why I have throat cancer is because I'm stud boy here. I'm all boo-boo.
Well, you know what, Margaret? You doing that is just as obscene as if I were to, so just please don't do that. As evidenced by 50% of the 50% divorce rate, marriages are hard to begin with, and Hollywood marriages are that much harder because of travel, temptation, and other issues, says celebrity watcher Howard Bragman. I don't think that there's anything... Yeah, there's a lot of temptation, and yeah, they're really hard to do, and yeah, all of that stuff, but how is that harder than the average marriage? Don't you think the average guy has his level of temptation?
Well, some girl winking at you at a barbecue, at a block party barbecue, is far different from some of these sluts. Well, excuse me for saying, folks, but I've been there, I've done that, I've seen... These sluts will throw themselves at... I've seen them do it with friends.
Yes, of course, it's the women's problem. It's their fault.
I've seen the slut time and again throw herself...
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. You've seen the slut.
I've seen the best sluts of my generation.
Famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So we're talking about these, whatever the hell they call them, December-May marriages.
What's that?
December-May marriages, you know, I shouldn't even have to explain, because if you say in the background one more time, that's one more reason for me to smack you around.
Well, why would you want to hit him for that?
Because I'm getting tired of people talking out of school around here, okay?
We did. You said that Mr. Hall said that I could.
You can interject the odd comment, okay? And by odd comment, there's no shortage of that coming from you, man. But all of this, what's that, what's that, what's that? I could talk about a milk bottle, cats, I could talk about, and you're going to be telling me what's that.
What are you talking about, a milk bottle?
Any stupid, silly thing I can talk about, you're going to ask me what it is. I could talk about a shoe, and you'll go, what's that?
No, I'm not. Not that way. Only one time you talked about was a Copernicus shoe?
What? No, it's a Capizio shoe, you jackass.
Capizio shoe. It's a Capizio shoe, man, okay?
What is that?
It's a freaking shoe, man. All right, so thank you very much. Frank Gray, I think we're making a phone call. Bud, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm waiting on... Hey, hold on. Hey, Frank. Hey, what's up? It's Bud Dickman.
Okay, so we're on the air, and this is how Bud screens calls. He's talking to Frank Gray. Margaret, how old, if you don't mind me asking, how old is Frank?
Frank is 75, and I just turned 55. So that's 5, 10, 25 years, right?
No, that's 20 years.
Well, no, it isn't, Phil. And please, I'm the one that graduated. I graduated from college.
Okay, 75, 55, that's 20 years.
Hold on. Yeah, it is 20 years.
All right, so it's 20 years. So big deal, 25, 20.
Great. But the point is, it's not as wide a gap as Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Well, that's the point that I want to make. Pardon me? I'm sorry, Phil, but as long as I'm on your program, I will not put my esophagus at risk by stifling a belch and allowing my... Well, you've heard the...
Yeah, I've heard your reasoning. I'd love to get a doctor on. In fact, Dr. Ron Tarner, Dr. Jim Sadler...
How about a real doctor and not those quacks... I swear to God, if Dr. Ron Tarner doesn't wind up at the end of a rope someday, I will be shocked.
God, did you hear that?
What are you talking about?
You heard what I said.
What does that mean?
If Dr. Ron... Well, I better not.
Yeah, if he hears that, he's going to sue you. And I mean sue you big time. All right. Frank Gray at his office in... Frank is still at the Burning the Midnight Oil. He's an entertainment attorney. He's also a former television producer. He and Margaret met when he was producing a ill-fated CBS pilot called... What was it called, Margaret?
It was called Bunkhouse. And it started... we had a wonderful cast. We had Cameron Mitchell, who at the very beginning... You remember Cameron Mitchell, Phil? Do you know Cam Mitchell at all, Phil? Cam Mitchell?
No, I don't know Cameron Mitchell.
No, we called... But friends called him Cam. Did you know Cam?
No, I didn't know Cam.
Well, what are you looking at me like I'm something that just... came out of your you-know-what. I mean, I...
Margaret, I didn't know Cam.
Well, that's what friends called him. And anyway, Cam Mitchell opened up with... He'd be ringing the dinner bell, which was the triangle.
Yeah, that's pitching away the triangle. Ding-a-ling-a-ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah,
Well, man, we don't need you doing the sound effects.
No, a triangle. It's a dinner bell.
Yes. And it would start out with ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. Bunkhouse! The CBS Television Network presents Bunkhouse. Well, Frank is here. Frank, darling.
Hey, Phil. Margaret, how are you?
Well, I'm good, honey. How are you?
Hey, I'm better than Custer. Phil, how you doing?
Good, Frank. Margaret and I were talking about the way the pilot that you produced, Bunkhouse, started. And I guess you remember, maybe, do you remember more specifically than Margaret?
Well, Margaret's got it basically right. Cam Mitchell was a very dear friend, a tremendous actor, and did a lot of Westerns. And it starts out with her standing there, and she's ringing the bell, and she's wearing the chaps and a cowboy boot, and she's got on the cowboy hat. She looks every bit the cowboy, and she's ding-a-ling-da-ding, just like Bud said. Bunko Squad was the name of another show. It wasn't Bunko Squad. It was Bunk House. Because there was a program called Bunko Squad that starred Lee Marvin, and this was her first starring role.
I thought Lee Marvin started in M Squad.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, Lee Marvin started. No. Lee Marvin started out in television. He had been married to Lee, and then he moved on and became a producer.
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Gail Patrick Harris. He was the one that produced Perry Mason. But he had been living with Lee Marvin.
How did we get on Gail Patrick Harris?
Yes.
Because Lee Marvin had starred in Perry Mason with Raymond Burr. And she liked working with... Let me just get back to what it was I was saying.
Yeah, I don't understand that left turn we just took. So we're talking here about the let's just get... The pilot was called Bunkhouse. And it starred who?
All right, the pilot was Bunkhouse. We had Cam Mitchell. We had Cam Mitchell. We had William Demarest as Chappie, who was the cook. We had Hop Singh. I forget the name of the actor, but she was the one that played Hop Singh on Banana.
You mean Bonanza?
It's called Bonanza, honey.
Banana. Ow!
Shut up.
I'm sorry. Yes, that's right. It's Banana. Bonanza. And I wanted to get Lauren Green, but she was under contract to NBC. So we had Cameron Mitchell, William Demarest. I believe we had all the guys that were on My Three Sons. We had William Frawley, she and William Demarest. I mean, the pilot didn't go. It was a real shame. It was bad. It wasn't very good.
Well, Margaret was in it, too.
Yes, I played Darnell. I was the young girl that worked in the bunkhouse.
Yeah, well, Darnell, and that was probably one of the reasons why we didn't get picked up, because Darnell, as originally written, slept with every cowhand in the greater Sedonia area. Now, Sedonia was a fictitious area of Texas / New Mexico, and that's how I insisted the actors call it Mexico. And the audience, they didn't get that either, so they thought it was too Hispanic. It was too much. So I was talking to Cameron Mitchell, and I said, what do you think of the character of Darnell? And she said, Darnell should sleep with every cowhand that's ever even set eyes on the Circle J. Now, the reason why we got canceled as well is because they didn't like the name Circle J, because J stands for jerk. And they thought that...
Well, you guys were making every bad move you could make.
Hold the phone there, my friend. Hold the phone. It was a damn good show. At the time, we were dealing with a guy by the name of Bichel Neely, and she was a real pain in the ass. She was running the CBS Entertainment Division, and I'd go in, and I would have these knockdown, drag-out fist fights with this guy. And she's, you can't have the Circle J, and you can't have Darnell...
Well, I mean, Frank, the show sounded like it was pretty adult. I mean, you got this character, Darnell, that's sleeping with every cowhand in the greater Sedonia area, wherever that is.
Well, what do you mean, where I just got done telling you where it is? It's a fictitious area, but it was, fictitious or not, it was in Arizona. And he slept with all the cowhands. So Darnell was a young, innocent girl, a young, innocent, beautiful, little, fragrant girl, and he slept with all the cowhands.
Really, even Cam?
Well, yeah, even her. So, Cam Mitchell's character, I think, was named Brewster or Buster or Buddy Gopher Broke, something like Bodega. I don't know what her name was, but it was a great character.
I'm talking here with Frank Gray and Margaret Gray about Bunkhouse, the show that they both were. Frank, you were the producer. Margaret was one of the stars. Let me ask you a question. Was Margaret cast because you were, at that time, dating her?
I think so. What do you think, honey?
Yes, I was. I was cast because... I'll tell you why I was cast. Frank and I were playing leapfrog, in his office. I wasn't wearing underwear. The story is very well told. It's all over town. It's all over Hollywood. It is like filth. It's like graffiti on every toilet stall in Hollywood. What Frank and I did in his office that day. Why do you keep bringing it up?
Margaret, I'm sorry. It was a question.
I got to tell you, he's a little upset, Phil, because he doesn't like the whole story of the leapfrog. Although for me, it was a wonderful moment when he jumped over me and I looked up his skirt. And
okay, yeah. So getting back to, by the way, for people that are listening in, Frank, would you just talk to Margaret for a minute? Just distract him, will you?
Yeah, Frank.
For people that are listening in, Frank Gray suffers from something called gender confusion. He doesn't know, he knows, but he just doesn't get the right gender out. That's why he's calling Cameron Mitchell her, and that sweet little innocent Darnell, he slept with all the cowboys.
So that's what I want to do, honey.
What we can do is get her we'll get her a new baseball outfit.
We were just talking about Jason J. Delmonico, our son.
Right. All right, well, Frank, before we let you go, December...
Hold on, well, is there something wrong with you? Are you listening to her? Margaret, are you listening to her? She's going...
Well, Phil has been under a little bit of pressure tonight. There's been a lot of weird things happening here mechanically. I'm sure you understand.
Yeah, sure, whatever. I don't know anything about the radio business. To me, it seems like the just only freaks and weirdos to where... You should have gone into television. You want, and because at least you get the eye candy and everything that you do. All right. So, Phil, what was it you wanted to ask?
I want to know about the May-December thing with Margaret. She's 20 years younger than you. How's it worked out?
I tell you something. He is the greatest little wife that any man could have. I think he's beautiful. He's gorgeous. We paid for his breast enhancement. Which I know he's not upset with me saying. Are you, honey?
No, not at all.
And he's a great mother to our son. She looks up to him. And I'm very, very happy. I couldn't have asked for a better wife than him.
All right. Well, thank you very, very much, Frank, for being with us.
You know my name, right?
Yeah.
You're going,
Yeah, Frank, thank you.
You know what? You laughing doesn't help.
Well, the guy's like, he's the best little wife a guy could have. All right, so that's fine. Thank you very, very much, Frank. You're a good man for being on the line with us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back here. We're going to take a very, very quick break and come back with a little bit more of a review on other things in Hollyweird, including Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber. I guess they got together and made a record, and it guess when it was released? Oh, is that right? Right after she did the whole thing there in the at the VMAs? Well, there's some really good timing. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I got my glasses caught here, bud.
Yeah, let me try to get them.
Yeah, thank you. My glasses are caught in the cord to the...
What are you doing, bud? You got the cord around my neck.
Well, that's an interesting effect.
He's strangling me. Get the cord off of my neck, you jackass. What are you doing?
Just trying to get... Ah, here they are.
Yeah, but look where you got the cord.
Oh, sorry.
God! Guy's cutting my ear off.
Well, Phil, you got in the way.
I got in the way. I'm sitting here. These are my headphones. I'm wearing them. All I'm saying is I got the glasses caught in the cord, and this guy's trying to strangle me.
The only way I knew how to get the glasses. You know, a little strangle guy? Yeah, that's the only way.
Oh, I see. Well, that's good thinking, bud. The only way to get the glasses is to kill the guy. Wow. Phew. All right. Harvey Wireman. You know, what is this? The old folks are? We do have Harvey Wireman. Why do we have Harvey and Frank scheduled back-to-back?
Because they're having a Caesar salad over Ted's.
Oh, a Caesar salad at Ted's. Great. Harvey Wireman and Frank Gray, brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills, doing the reporting tonight and giving us the lowdown on what is happening in the world of news, in the world of big-time news. What the hell is that? That sounds like a flat line of some kind. Let me get on the line here, Harvey Wireman. Harvey, I know you wanted to talk with us about the Fort Hood shooter.
The Fort Hood shooter was sentenced to death today.
And I do want to thank Frank for picking up the tab at the dinner.
Oh, so he did pick up the tab.
Who's that?
This is Margaret.
Margaret who?
It's Frank's wife.
Oh, Margaret, yeah. Yeah, he did. He picked up, it was a $300 tab because of the drinks we ordered. And we had the porterhouse, you know, and Ted, he loves to torture human beings with the prices that he charges.
Are you feeling okay tonight?
I feel fine. I'm just old, for God's sake. This guy, don't you? Are you feeling okay? I'm old, Phil. I'm a World War II veteran. That means I'm pushing 90, you know? 90. 90, understand? All right, this is Harvey Wireman. Tonight we're going to look at the Fort Hood shooter and what he done did. A
military jury on Wednesday.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you. Are you reading that correctly?
As far as I can get a load of this. Since when did you become J.C. on the cross? Everything on that...
Well, it is his show, Harvey.
I know it's his show. He brought me on to do the... To do with the sentence of the Fort Hood shooter. And that's what I aim to do, all right? Do you mind?
Go ahead. I'm just telling you, we're mispronouncing the Wednesday.
Well, who said that?
You did.
All right, well, a millipede on Wednesday sentenced the U.S. Army. How could that happen?
How could what happen?
How could what happen? Buddy, I got to tell you, Phil, if I were you, I'd get in quick and have a full diagnostic run.
Harvey, Phil's asking the question, how it is that the U.S. Army was sentenced by a millipede?
Read the story again. This is about the Fort Hood shooter. It's a military jury. They sentenced this guy who's a U.S. Army psychiatrist.
I know. You don't have to do it for me. I know. A U.S. Army psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist to death for murdering 13. Is that a phone number?
Boy, this guy...
How old are you now, Harvey? I just want to know.
Wouldn't you like to know? Old enough to kick your... All right, so, murdering 13 people in 2009 at Fort Hood, Texas, where he gunned down unarmed soldiers in what he later called Rattaliation.
Retaliation. Okay, this story is far too important to have you carve it up.
What do you mean, carve it up?
You're reading this thing like you don't have your glasses. Do you have your glasses?
I have, yes, and they're my real glasses. They're not the Walt Disney World purple ones that my granddaughter, Cassidy, or Kimberly Ann, I've given her three or four names, and I'm hoping that I get one right.
What are you talking about?
Well, he's calling his granddaughter by a variety of names, like a scattershot thing.
How about asking your daughter what your granddaughter's name is?
I have asked my daughter, and I forget. That's why I'm using... Are you ready for this guy? Why do you think I'm using five or six names? Watch, I'll call my granddaughter. Kimberly Ann, Susie Q, Maybelline, Nadine, Barbara Ann. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty contemporary series of names there. I'm sure that that children these days are named Nadine and Maybelline.
Oh, well, look at the racist. Today, the very day that Martin Luther King walked all the way down to the Capitol, to wherever he took a walk down there to the Lincoln, and on this day, you...
Oh, come, get out of here.
What do you do?
Fell asleep. Fort Hood shooter sentenced to death. A military... What is it with this guy? He's calling his daughter what?
No, this is his granddaughter. He's calling his granddaughter. It was something that I think was written about in one of the children's books, or not children, but how to treat children or how to address children in these modern times. Dean Wheeler wrote something up on it.
Yeah?
Well, don't look at me, Phil, like I belong in a nut house.
Well, what exactly are we talking about here? What are we talking about here?
We're talking about if you can't remember a child's name.
Oh, yeah, okay. So what he does is he calls out five different names that are all, like, from the 1950s, hoping that he gets one right? I mean, this is insanity.
Well, I mean, he said, hey, Kimberly Ann.
That one's pretty modern.
Yeah, he said, hey, Kimberly Ann, Nadine, Maybelline, and Barbara Ann, and then I think one other one, like Gertrude. Is his daughter named any of those?
Yes, his granddaughter, Phil.
I'm sorry, is his granddaughter named any of those?
Yes, his granddaughter's name is Gertrude.
His granddaughter's name is Gertrude?
Yes. 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 God.
So I guess I had him all wrong.
Sure did. You had him all wrong. He had everything right. Call her Gertrude.
Although I think it's something along the lines of Jasmine, Kimberly, Gertrude. But the fact remains that Harvey had it under control until you butchered it alive. God almighty, Phil.
I apologize, Harvey. Wherever you are, I apologize. And where he is right now is probably fast asleep on the floor of his office.
Well, if you'd been a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show in our final hour here tonight. PhilHenryShow.com. If I'd been a little more interesting.